Steelers and Falcons coming up on Sunday. Tim Benz with you here on the Breakfast of Benz podcast. Make sure you're listening to the pregame show. It starts bright and early at 9 o'clock. Our countdown to kickoff broadcast with myself, Rob King, and Dale Lawley starts at 9 on DVE. And joining me right now, he'll be part of the National Network broadcast. He'll be doing play-by-play of the game on CBS with James Lofton. It is Andrew Catalan. Andrew, thanks a lot for taking some time to join us. Greatly appreciate it.
Tim, always good chatting with you. Thanks for having me.
Hopefully this game lives up to the one that you had last week. Jacksonville and Baltimore was a blast, huh?
Yeah, that was a good one. You don't get too many like that. I give a lot of credit to Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson. Lawrence, I thought, played great. He finally looked like, you know, the number one pick from the draft a year ago. And Doug Peterson, the courage to go for two. Never count Baltimore out with Justin Tucker. He gave it a good go there at the end. But that was a great game and a really, I think, important win for Jacksonville going forward.
All right, play-by-play technique question here for you, all right? Because I'm wondering, when you're calling the Tucker field goal, what are you using? Using the monitor? Using your own eyes? It's tough depending on where you are in each stadium, location to get the best line on a field goal, and especially a game winner. You want to nail the call. What were you doing on that one? Because from the camera angle you guys had behind Tucker, when he kicked it, it looked like it was going to be good to me. You had a great replay of it underneath the crossbar afterwards that showed that it was short and by maybe a little bit more than what you thought with the original camera angle. How'd you call that one, and what'd you think would have left his foot?
It's a great question because I struggle with that. That's probably one of the toughest things to decide each and every week, depending upon the stadium, as you pointed out, as to how you want to call field goals. And in Jacksonville, we're pretty high up. We don't have great sight lines up there. Whenever I'm there, I usually go off the monitor, which is what I did. It was online, and I think I said it's online. Does it have the distance? No. And I think that call was it hit it. But then to your point, I was off because I said it might have been good from 66. But then when we showed that other replay, it wouldn't have been good from 66. It probably would have been good from 62, maybe 63. But it's a very difficult thing to call field goals. I've just learned you got to be simple with it. Like, I'm glad that I guessed that it would have been good from 66 after the fact, even though I wish I hadn't said that. I'm glad I didn't say that in the moment because you just never know with field goals. It's very difficult to judge.
Yeah, and he gave it a good go. And when he walked out there, something told me he might get this because of how good he is. And trust me, seeing Steelers-Ravens games over the years, I know he's got the leg and I know he's got the penchant for that.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was I hope they're queuing up the field goal from last year in Detroit, the 66-yarder, which we showed. And I just think that, you know, I've read things that he's hit from beyond 70 in practice, which, again, that doesn't mean anything in practice. But he's capable of doing it. I think indoors versus outdoors was a big part of this. There was a little bit of wind in the stadium. But even then, I think if you're a fan of the other team, your heart sinks when Tucker runs out there because you know that at any time this could go through. And I thought he was going to make it. I think Jaguars fans did too, and it just came up short.
So that game has gotten a little run here in Pittsburgh this week because you got to see what potentially could be a coming out party moment, if you will, for Trevor Lawrence. I thought you guys captured that vibe nicely on the broadcast. And I think people are using that as an analogous point for maybe a rise for Kenny Pickett next year. Not that he's as naturally talented as Lawrence, not that there's as much invested or he has as high of a ceiling as the number one overall pick in Jacksonville or anything, but you know, that the nature of it's not always right there in your rookie season and you're allowed to develop, get better, and have maybe the NFL come into play for you after your first season.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think it's so rare to see a quarterback walk in the door and immediately see why he was drafted in the first round. It just doesn't happen that often, if at all. And for Trevor Lawrence, he had an atrocious rookie year with Urban Meyer as his coach. I mean, it was just a nightmare down there. So for him, in many ways, now he has a new system with Doug Peterson. This is his rookie year, and I think it's finally starting to click, that continuity. And when I look at Kenny Pickett, and again, you know him a lot better than I do. I parachute in, but in reading about Pickett and the Steelers, didn't get a lot of reps in the offseason with the ones, threw in there after a month, starting to build chemistry, starting to build continuity. Again, you're not anointing him as, okay, he's definitely the guy. I get that. But I think it takes some time, especially considering the way that Pickett's summer went and his first month of the year went, before you can start saying, all right, now we got it. So, you know, I think that's a great comparison. I think Lawrence is starting to figure it out, the continuity of playing 12 games now in one system. And Pickett's not at 12 games yet. This will be his eighth start against Atlanta. I think it's going to get there. You just got to be patient, which I know in the NFL, not a lot of people have patience. But when you invest a first-round pick, you've got to be patient, especially at the quarterback position.
Andrew Catalano with us. He's calling Steelers and Falcons this weekend on CBS. Andrew, let's get to sort of the matchup that you see on the other side of the ball and what Atlanta will present for the Steelers defensively. I thought the Steelers offense took some strides against the Colts. It had the most flow that I've seen. What do you think the Falcons will give them on the other side of the ball?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I mean, I watched the entire game against the Colts, and I thought that, you know, a little bit slow out of the gate in the second half, but, and I know that's kind of been a theme at times, but I really liked what I saw, and I was really impressed with Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland stepping in there and doing a good job. This Atlanta defense, this whole Atlanta team, Tim, is just very up and down. I mean, you know, they've lost three of their last four. Defensively, to me, their two best players are A.J. Terrell and Grady Jarrett. Terrell missed three games with a hamstring. This is his third game back. He's a very good corner. I don't want to say lockdown, but he's in that upper echelon of corners. I think he's a really good player. And Jarrett does a lot in the middle against the run. And he's also got 5.5 sacks. So, you know, they're getting contributions from all over the ball. They did a pretty good job against Washington, but it was a rainy day, and then you look at the run game, and that's where they got hurt the most the last time out against Washington. They allowed 176 yards on the ground, which was a season high for the Commanders. A lot of missed tackles in that game. You know, I think the big thing with Atlanta is they haven't had their bye yet, and I think this team is just gassed, especially they're a young team. You know, a lot of these first and second year players, I mean, their college seasons have been done for a month by now. They're still going. This is their 13th game of the season, but a lot of these young guys played in the preseason as well. So I think it's a tired team that's anxious to get to the bye, and they're going to try to, you know, unload the tank here on Sunday against Pittsburgh. But the question that I have is how much is left in the tank before the bye.
We were talking about calling field goals earlier. You got your kickoff play-by-play call queued up just in case Cordarrelle Patterson gets rolling? Because we're worried about that here. I can guarantee you that after what we saw against the Colts.
Well, you should be. Yeah, I saw it too. I mean, an 89-yard return, and I know they were without Miles Boykin and Robert Spillane, but as Mike Tomlin said Tuesday, that's not an excuse. Patterson's dangerous. Atlanta plays a lot better at home. They seem to feed off that crowd. They're 4-2 at home, 1-5 on the road. And I think special teams is definitely a big part of this game.
From what you've seen in the lead up, your film study and so forth going into this one, when the Falcons are on offense, are they a little bit more embracing of the pass game now, say over the last 4 or 5 weeks since that shootout against the Panthers, as opposed to what we saw, and I don't know if you're on this call or not, but when the Falcons played the Bengals, the ridiculousness of running 13 times when they were down like 28-7, have they started to embrace the pass game more and better as the season has rolled along?
I called their week 4 game against Cleveland, one they pulled out late. To me, it's still all about the run. I mean, they'll use play action off the run, but Arthur Smith wants to run the ball. I mean, they run the ball 56% of the time. Only Chicago runs it more. So, you know, Drake London, their receiver, has been quiet. Kyle Pitts is out for the year. their big target now has been Olamide Zaccheaus, who's a nice receiver. He's having a good year, but I don't think he scares a lot of people. I mean, they feel that their way to win is to create mismatches in their run game and make the defense confused. And I think that's what they're going to continue to do and then try to mix in play action deep. But this is a game for the front seven for Pittsburgh. They've got to slow down the run because I don't think that Atlanta can beat many teams through the air.
Yeah, and the Steelers' run defense has gotten better. It was as lousy as it was last year to start the season this year. I think it was like 146 yards per game that they allowed last year, and I think the first three games of this year is like at 142. So they were struggling again to start the season, but and I'm sure you've seen it in games that you've watched in advance of this one. It's gotten better significantly since then, and I'd actually argue that Watt has been more of an influence in the run game the last couple weeks than he has in the pass rush. You know, he's not putting up the big sack number since he got back, but I do think he's aided the rush defense.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I love what Terrell Austin said this week, too, about how he's starting to see teams roll protection more Watt's way now that this will be his fourth game back. Maybe he didn't do that right away upon his return from injury, but starting to see that a little bit more, and certainly in the run game, that's a big part of it. So, to me, that's the big key. I mean, you know, Patterson, Algier, Mariota, Caleb Huntley, these guys are all capable runners. You slow them down, and I think you got a good chance to win.
Finally, you mentioned that you work with James Lofton and have for, what'd you say again, 6 years in a row now?
Yeah, sixth year together.
So as a guy who certainly knows receivers and a guy who can break down that aspect of the game, I'm real curious to see or to hear what he has to say about seeing George Pickens and also Deontay Johnson. It's kind of funny. They're on opposite ends of the spectrum, it seems like, on the next-gen stats when it comes to running themselves open in their pattern. But, boy, even if he's in traffic, Pickens can make great plays and can come down with the ball. And Johnson's been elite getting open. Sometimes it's what happens after that that's been a problem for him this year.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear James's thoughts, especially on Pickens, who we're going to meet with this weekend, sit with him and get to know him a little bit. I think that's where James excels is, you know, he's a Hall of Fame receiver, getting into the minds of these wide receivers. I know in just a couple of brief discussions, James is very curious and interested in George's confidence, which seems to come across the screen, and I'm sure it appears that way in his interviews as well. It is strange with Deontay Johnson not having a touchdown yet. I know that's not everything, but he's the only receiver in the NFL with 500 yards receiving and no touchdowns. So I think, you know, we're seeing kind of what we said before, Tim, about how Kenny and George got some reps over the summer, and Kenny didn't have a ton of reps with Deontay, and they're playing catch up. And I think that's a little bit part of this equation with Kenny as he continues to get up to speed with everyone on that first team offense.
Andrew, thanks so much for the time. Looking forward to hearing your call on Sunday. We appreciate you carving out a few moments for us. And I guess best advice I can give you is avert your eyes whenever Syracuse basketball is playing, because it's it's not pretty right now.
No, it's definitely not, Tim. It's not like the old days when we were there, but hopefully they can get things going, that's for sure.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Best of luck to you, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
You too. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
All right. Andrew Catalan, play-by-play man for CBS. He'll be on the call for the Falcons and Steelers game Sunday afternoon.